This is the Doherty Report. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
Right now we're talking with Dr. Jeff Ventry, former SeaWorld trainer and also featured on Blackfish, the movie. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell us, because SeaWorld keeps coming out with these press releases saying they're helping whales and dolphins and saving their lives and all this stuff. What is your take on that?
Unequivocally false. SeaWorld is responsible for the endangered status of the southern resident population of whales that live in the waters of Washington and British Columbia to this day. The whales are trying to make a comeback. In fact, 9 whales have been born in the last 13 months up in this area where I live. But for the most part, they moved probably over 60 animals from that population, which is probably only at 130 before these studies began on them, and now they're down around 80. So SeaWorld's directly responsible for the decimation of the southern resident community of animals, and anything said to the contrary is simply false.
Now, are they considered endangered?
Yeah, they're listed as endangered. This is one particular ecotype called the southern residents. In fact, the southern resident population is the only endangered population in the entire world, thanks to SeaWorld.
So how do they do that? If they're endangered, how do they get a license, basically, to take these animals?
Well, that ended in 1976 when the state of Washington got a court order to prevent SeaWorld from collecting animals. Plus, it helped kick in the Marine Mammal Protection Act a couple of years earlier, which was a federal act. So that's why SeaWorld went to Washington. And then the palatability of collecting killer whales became so unsavory for the American public. That's why SeaWorld hasn't actively collected animals, but they have actually collected one in 2010 when the dolphinarium Harderwijk found a beached animal named Morgan and pulled her in for rehabilitation purposes and essentially sold her to SeaWorld. So that happened in 2010. So what they're doing is they're finding ways to get around the rules. And even though they don't consider Morgan a wild capture, most people in the animal justice community do, because that animal is taken in specifically for rehab and rehabilitation. And most people in the animal justice community are calling for her release to this day. And that was almost 6 years ago.
Is that a whale or a dolphin?
Yeah, that's a killer whale at the Laurel Parquet in the Canary Islands, one of the places featured in Blackfish. I'd like you guys to take a look at that movie. It's pretty good. She is there with 5 other SeaWorld killer whales and is also listed as a commercial asset on SeaWorld's stock report.
When you put a killer whale in a tank, which most people would consider a swimming pool, but for them it's a tank.
Right.
What happens to them psychologically?
Well, psychologically, what you're doing is you're taking animals from different cultures and putting them together for the first time. That's never happened before. Almost all the killer whales that have been born at SeaWorld now are Icelandic southern resident hybrids, which means they come from populations that would never, ever even interact with each other in the wild. And plus, when you add management decisions to move animals from park to park, what that leads to is social strife. In the Pacific Northwest, the resident community whales, where SeaWorld started its collection, they live together for life. In fact, I think the stat is sons don't leave their mother's side for more than a day or two to breed for the animal's entire life and spend like 75% of their life within just a few body lengths of their mother. So they're very family-oriented animals, and when you start pulling them out of families and creating human artificial families, it simply doesn't work, and that has led to the death of some whales in captivity. Famously, in 1989, when Candu 5 rammed Corky, fractured her jaw, and then bled out in front of a show audience. So a lot of social strife happens. The animals also do what's called stereotypic behaviors. These are like neurotic behaviors where, have you ever heard of how horses will do cribbing, like chewing on their stalls?
Yeah.
The killer whales do the same thing. It's called jaw popping and chewing on concrete, because they just are simply bored and don't have anything to do. And so the animals have significant health problems because of captivity, and teeth damage is the number one problem that they have. This has led to infection, chronic over-medication, and although it might not be the primary cause of death, getting over-medicated and being on antibiotics all your life is a recipe for disaster, and that's why the animals die younger at SeaWorld than they do in the wild.
What is the intelligence level of these animals?
I guess I can say this. I'm a medical doctor. The killer whale has the most gyrified brain on the planet. which means it's the most convoluted and bumpy, if that makes sense. It's
right.
also four or five times larger than brain, weighing over 5,000 grams. So the human brain's like, I think, 1,300 grams. So it has a much larger brain. They are more social than we are, if you consider the fact that they live together in family units for life. They tend to have this group mentality. Their family is their home, so they travel these vast distances, over 100 miles a day, which killer whales in captivity can't do, which is why they get deconditioned and compromised immune systems. And they simply have a very complex brain that has parts of the brain that the human brain doesn't even have, especially in the limbic and paralimbic systems, which are highly elaborated in the killer whale, which implies that they have very deep emotional lives. And that's just one difference between their brain and our brain. And also, they have things like echolocation, which is why the military is interested in animals like whales and dolphins, because they can use that echolocation as kind of like a radar and actually see through solid objects. So
right.
there's applications for mining and defense, and that's why you see bottlenose dolphins patrolling ports, you know, all over the United States and all over the world to protect from enemy frogmen.
Well, you hear about this depression syndrome in dolphins. Is there a similar condition for whales in captivity?
Well, killer whales are simply the largest member of the family Delphinidae, which means they are the largest dolphins. So, yeah, they're one and the same. So these animals have highly related genetic code. Killer whales basically are dolphins, so the answer is yes.
So when you take a very family-oriented, if you compare it to humans, you take a very family-oriented person and you put them in a completely different environment where they're not around their family and they're basically isolated.
There's a precedent for this. We have, you know, I worked at SeaWorld in the late 80s and up through the mid 90s, and there was an animal that was brought from the Dolphinarium Hardawak named Gudrun. She was captured by SeaWorld and kind of laundered through the Dolphinarium and then brought into Orlando. And for over, I'd say, 3 months after she was dropped into this artificial pod in this artificial environment in Orlando, she was letting out these distress vocalizations that were so loud that you could hear them park-wide. And people would be asking educators and operations staff and trainers, what in the world is that noise? And, you know, you don't want to anthropomorphize, but basically it was like a distress call. You know, it was like really super loud, something that you don't see in the wild, and was witnessed by literally thousands of people that came to the park and, of course, the entire training staff.
I'm at a loss. I mean, I know dolphins have been known to save humans. Have whales been known to do that?
In legend, yes. I don't know if there's any like news reports or things like that, but it is known. For example, one of my friends, Dr. Ingrid Visser, is a famous orca biologist that lives in New Zealand and swims with these animals all the time. I know that she has stories of them coming to her to help a young animal get detangled from a net. They are known not to have ever killed a human in the wild, if that makes sense, because
sure.
back in the 70s, remember that old movie Orca that came out with De Laurentiis film or whatever? They portrayed the orca. It was kind of like a takeoff on the Jaws movie is what it was, but they
right.
portrayed the killer whale as a killer, which is what it was known through historically, because whalers back in Europe and America would see these animals killing larger animals. Of course, that was just subsistence hunting for the whales, but they labeled them killer whales, but that really turns out not to be true. The animals are very friendly with people. There's examples of people swimming with them all over the world. I simply don't know if one has actually like towed a person to safety, but they are known to be quite friendly.
Well, we thank you so much.
Yeah.
I don't think people really understand the psychology behind what's happening to the dolphins and the whales. And maybe this puts a face on it a little bit for people.
For sure, yeah. I was involved with blackfish, and it has been seen now by over 200 million people globally. But there's, you know, when I go to places and we take a hand count sometimes when we're talking about killer whales, most people haven't seen blackfish, and I think it's a good entry point for anyone that wants to know more about this particular topic.
I think that people value their pets in their home as family members. They don't really understand that the dolphins and the whales are this deep emotionally. I don't think they really get that at all. And I think that's really important for people to understand.
Absolutely. I'm in 100% agreement with that. They simply don't know how sophisticated they are, how intelligent they are, the fact that they have language, the fact that they pass down customs and information from one generation to the other. The fact that they're incredible athletes and swim over 100 miles a day on many occasions. I mean, obviously every day they're not foraging for food. They might have found a food source and be sitting at the mouth of the Campbell River feasting on salmon during the summer. In fact, salmon restoration is one of the keys for the whales that we live with here in the Northwest for complete recovery from those collections back in the 60s and 70s. And I hope people will not only focus some conservation attention on killer whales themselves, but also their food sources. It's our communities that are being built in riparian and river areas, you know, along the Columbia River or the Campbell River or the Klamath River along the West Coast that are preventing the salmon runs from being what they once were. And I hope people can make that connection as well.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking with Dr. Jeff Ventry, a former SeaWorld trainer and also featured in the Blackfish movie. Thank you so much for joining us.
I enjoy it. Thanks a lot.
Keep up with us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report.